If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to do Psalms 24. The King of Glory and His Kingdom. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? He who has a clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Amen.
Amen.
Good. That's the Holy Spirit. I take no thing for that.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it can have all the plans and all the things that you want to do, but I'm so amazed. It's God's plan, God's way. And He's going to get all the glory for it. He doesn't want man to get any glory. Amen? Amen. Well, this is a new season. I've talked to you about that before. And I believe right now that the Lord is saying, I want you to be more sensitive to me. I want you to desire my glory. I want you to speak about my glory. I want you to speak about my presence. I want you to speak to my people. My will is to always provide for my people. The destiny that I ordained for you, that I planned it before the foundation of the world. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the glory of God. When the glory of God comes, everything gets in alignment. And I really think it was a good lesson today. I know we didn't have any control over the internet. I know we didn't have any control over PowerPoint or speakers or anything. But when the Holy Spirit decided to come, He came.
Amen.
And it's very important for you to understand that the more and more that we get into His presence, spend time with Him and what He wants. I told Joel that as we were listening to this CD, which I'm still going to play for you, I really felt like the Lord was saying that His people do not understand the glory of God. Now, Pastor Dennis Carey and myself, we've talked about the glory of God. We've also talked about experiences that we have had, such as that when His glory comes in, truthfully, man doesn't have to lay hands on you or do anything, that when that glory comes in, certain things happen. I shared with you about working with Francis Hunter and Charles Hunter, and I was probably maybe like 32. And I remember him calling me out of a crowd. I was just sitting like you are today, and he called me up, and I kind of looked to the person behind me. You ever do that? When someone says, hey, I have a word for you, or this or that, didn't you ever kind of look to the person next to you or behind you or whatever? That's exactly what I did. And he goes, no, you, like that. And I remember going up, and we were at Judson Baptist Church in Burton, Michigan, which was a spirit-filled Baptist church. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And they were there. And at first, he called me up, but he didn't say nothing to me. Like I expected him to say, you know, you're up here, you're going to do this, blah, blah, blah. Oh, no. He just went like this to me. And my friend Edna and the pastor of our church and some other people from the church were there. And I just kind of looked over at her like, am I supposed to follow him? And every place that he moved, the glory of God went with him. And he went like this, and the Holy Spirit came up out of him. And as he pointed, the gal that I saw her arm grow back. I never forgot it. No one can take that from me. I literally saw no arm begin to grow back because of the glory that was present. I also saw different people that came out of wheelchairs. I've seen all kinds of things. In fact, there was a prophet that was up in Boyne City that came from Australia. I know him, been there. But you know what? God is wanting people to look at him, to look at what he wants to do. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit couldn't work through certain people, but God wants to receive all the credit. And when you come against the Holy Spirit, you're in trouble. There's things that can happen that I can't even explain to you because you have come against the Holy Spirit. That is one thing that the Word talks about is do not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I don't know all the consequences behind it, but there are many churches that do not allow the Holy Spirit to move. And it is very important that you allow the Holy Spirit to move because that's what he's here for. He is the person who can help us get through certain circumstances. Someone asked Friday in regards to this menorah up here that was used in the tabernacle that we used at the tent revival. What was that top part? You know, the very top. They all connect to the middle, which is the Holy Spirit. And the very top is revelation and wisdom. And right now, God is revealing the truth. He is revealing who he is. He is revealing his glory. That's the best way that I can explain it to you. I have seen, and this was, I don't know who I was sitting next to. I guess I was sitting next to Joe. I'm not really for sure. But in the conference that we went to, we were pretty high in the balcony. And I remember specifically looking towards the door. No, I mean, way over here was the stage and everything going on, if I can say it that way. And I don't even know who was up there. At the time, and the Lord said, look over to the door. And I said, Joe, look, can you see the glory? Can you see that over there? You know, it was like on the main floor. Excuse me for putting it the way, I don't know what else they call it. But the main floor, and over by the door, there was just this cloud, just like fog that was just hovering by the door. And the Lord said, I want you to stare at that, and as you stare at it, watch what's happening. There were tons of women dancing. There were young children of all different ages just dancing, and every move that they made, every step that they took, that cloud followed them. And then all of a sudden, I was so like overwhelmed by what I was seeing, whether it was in the spirit or whatever, that I kind of did one of these things to Joe. Hey, can you see the glory cloud? Can you look over there? You know, he looked and kind of nodded, which Joe usually does to me, you know, like, okay, whatever. And I'm so serious. It was so powerful that I love seeing it because I don't always see the glory.
That was the first time.
And it was powerful. powerful. It was so powerful. And when that happens, when the glory happens, it's like healing just take place. There's a freedom that the Lord is trying to bring to his people. And it's a freedom not to be off the wall, but it's a freedom of victory because you are an overcomer. Do you know what I mean by that? You are an overcomer because of the blood of Jesus. And so I said, you know, Lord, I think you let me mention that before. And he goes, I want you to mention it again. And I have seen when that glory cloud comes in and people just go down in the spirit. Just down. I mean thousands go down. I've seen where you could try to get up in that glory and you can't. So I think the dictionary definition is that there's like a weightiness to it. And I said, well, Lord, look at that glory cloud at that conference, and those kids are dancing around. They're not like down on the floor or anything like that, but they were so taken that they just wanted to have such a good time in the Lord, and that he just covered them. He just covered them. And I believe that that is what the Lord is trying to do for all of us in here. He wants you to know him with spiritual eyes. You cannot see that glory with your natural eyes. You just can't. Another example I remember giving to you maybe 3 years ago was that I was working on this woman's conference with this lady. Her and I were trying to run it, get that? We were trying to run it, and we probably had, like, I don't even know, 350 women would be nothing. And the Lord said, I want you to know there's going to be like 50 women in this group that are going to get baptized, and my glory and speaking in tongues will fall on them. And so I went to the head person, and I said, hey, you know, I want you to know there's going to be 50 people baptized in here when the Lord tells us to baptize and like that. And she went, okay, whatever, and just moved on. And I thought, oh. And so, you know, I just kind of held on to it and what the Lord had said. And at the end of this conference, there was a swimming pool in a hotel. Now most people that are religious would say, you can't baptize in the pool. And there's lots of people swimming in that pool, so you can't get in. And we were really dressed up. I don't care about that. So there was three of us gals, and women came, because it was women, who came to, and it was just like a, like the glory cloud was over this pool in this hotel. And all, us girls with our high heels and all this, and I'm dressed all up, we got in the water, and the Lord said, that ain't deep enough. But we were in the pool water, and we went down the steps. The Lord said, I want you to go deeper. And I think, truthfully, we were probably up to here, up to our waist in this pool, three of us gals, not knowing what we're supposed to be doing. I'm serious. And all of a sudden, I remember looking through this cloud that was over this pool, and I was looking like to a balcony, and I cannot tell you how many people were dressed in these white robes, and they had like hoods on. That, for lack of words, I thought, well, they must have their swimming attire on. You know what I'm saying? Like the cover-ups and stuff, you know what I'm saying? There were so many, so many. But the person that I had my eyes on, I don't know. I couldn't see his face, and his head was bowed down like this. And every time we took a person down, baptized him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he would look up and smile. I could see him smile, but I couldn't see his eyes. And I was so excited because some of the people that were dressed in white, they were doing this, or they were just so excited. That's the only way I can explain it. Time went by. I mean, I just wish I could explain this. Can you imagine, it was probably maybe more than 50, people being under the glory, getting baptized, and you're all dressed up.
In the water.
In the water, in a hotel. They didn't bring extra stuff to change or anything like that. And I couldn't even tell you who half the people were. Truthfully. Well, anyways, time went on. Also, you know, my friend Edna went to be with the Lord, and she was an intercessor. Her and I traveled, went all over together. Powerful intercessor for the Lord. And I said, you know, Edna, wasn't that exciting what happened like a couple years ago? I says, about all those people getting baptized. I mean, you just felt like you were something. You know, like, wow, he used me. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was like, oh, thank you, Lord. You know, you used me. I got a chance, I really believed, to see your angels, and I got a chance to see you. And you know, Lord, I'm so excited in the Lord. And my friend said, Maria, I really think you need to sit down on the bed for a minute. I went, what are you talking about? She said, there is no balcony by that pool. There was nobody up there in white robes. And I said, you're an intercessor for me, and you didn't see him, and 2 years have gone by like that? Now, why didn't you say something like that to me? I know they were there. It was way in Ann Arbor, and if you don't know me real well, if the Holy Spirit tells me to do something, I just get in the car, and I'm gone. And I went to that hotel, and I asked if I could go by their pool and their conference area. And they said, well, sure. I said, well, we did a conference here a couple years ago. I said, the Lord was so present. And I said, I really have to go and see your balcony. And she goes, I'm sorry, we don't have a balcony. And I said, well, what did you do, remodel? You know, people remodel all the time. Did you remodel? She goes, ma'am, I'm really sorry. This has been like this since I've been here. I says, I need to see your manager. The manager came. I spoke with her. I said, did you guys remodel this? You know, I mean, I was like, and she goes, no. It's just a pool, and there's like a changing area that people can go to. So I called, went and saw Edna again, and I said, Edna, what was that all about? What was the Lord trying to tell me? You're my friend. Tell me. And she said, you had to have a glimpse of his glory cloud and him being present with his angels. And don't let anybody take that from you. It's a privilege to be before him and encounter that. And I say that to you humbly, because sometimes the Lord will show you a vision, show you something, his glory, and someone else might not see it at all, and they can be standing right next to you. Yeah. Isn't that a good way to put it, Denny?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, sometimes you just won't see it. I mean, I'm sharing that. But the Lord, it was such an atmosphere that I can't explain it. Just like the vision that I had when hearing that CD, it took me right back into that throne room. If you really want to go deeper in him, it is more than taking the word, sitting there and just reading the word, the same word, over and over and over again, because maybe the Lord wants to give you something else. But when that is like a that's like a baby step. A baby step. He wants you to have a relationship with him, to know him. Might sound kind of whack, but I don't know how else to explain it. His glory if you're really hungry and thirsty for it, he'll give it to you. But truthfully, I've seen it like a wind. I've seen it, his glory come like a cloud. I've seen his glory come like fire. I've seen that the Lord allowed me to be with a gentleman from Africa and with, what was Neil's last name? What is Neil's last name? Pastor Neil. Well, anyways.
It's Huds or something.
I don't know. But we were all together. I mean, I got called up. And we were up and praying for people. And the fire of God, his glory came. And we just went like this, and row after row after row after row of people got healed, were in the presence, down, whatever you want to call it. But I want you to have that understanding of the glory. You do not have to have man touch you. You can get in that presence and in that glory for yourself. And he wants you to do that. He wants you to go deeper in him. And I felt so heavy in this that I told Joe, I said, I've got to say something. I've got to preach this. I don't even know how to do this. And the Lord said, he took me even to some different scriptures, but he took me to even Romans, and it's in Romans 8. And it was talking about the throne room and talking about his glory and talking about the depth of who he is. I want to see where exactly the Lord wants me to give this to you. As it is written, for your sake, I want to get that exact scripture. In part 8, if you go to 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray or as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It is all about his purpose, who he is. And he wants no one to take credit for anything that he does. Another one that the Lord kind of placed on my heart was that he wants us to see his glory, because we have to dwell with him. He wants us to dwell with him. And I'm trying to think where I saw that. In John, chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So what it is saying is that he wants us to dwell with him so that we can see his glory. Now let me give you a few other things. As I was really praying and meditating, the Lord, I don't know, maybe for about a week now, keeps on talking to me about his glory. And we have to ask for the glory. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he talks about the veil that was on the hearts and the minds of the children of Israel and how the veil was finally taken away. There was a veil on their hearts that kept them from seeing the Messiah. One of the things I always say to the Lord, all your people that are here, Lord, take that veil off their heart and allow them to encounter who you are. Just like he did for those children. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Lord and the Spirit are one. When they talked about Moses, do you remember about the burning bush? Well, that was really seeing God's glory. And what was really amazing was that God himself, El Elyon, let him see the backside of him. So can you imagine how powerful that glory is if we could see him face to face? If his glory was to walk into this room, I'm telling you right now, I don't care who you are, what kind of education you've had, what kind of training you've had, you'd fall on your face. You would fall on your face in the glory. Because it says all will bow, all will honor who he is. So when we talk about Moses, it was just amazing that God would appear to him. I think that is beyond anything I can put into words. The glory of God, and Joe said this morning, is his presence. His presence. When I don't know what I'm going to do, I just get in his presence and just pray in tongues. I don't even know, to be honest, but I can tell you that I have prayed 2 or 3 hours in tongues without stopping. Because I don't want it to be my agenda or anything like that. I just want to talk directly to him. I want to encourage you, do it. Shut yourself away. Get off your phone. Get out of your chaos of your house. Get out of the chaos of your job and spend time with him, dwell with him, and let his glory fall on you and guide you and direct you. I can truthfully stand before you and say, when I was so ill that I did every healing scripture that I've given you copies of. But he took me through it. He gave me new strength. Nobody else could do that. Nobody. Only the Lord can do that. And in these times, as we get closer and closer to his return, he's wanting us to experience his glory. And I said to the Lord, okay, let me explain it a little bit easier. He said that when his glory showed up, there's abundance. He also said that when the glory of God shows up, there's abundance, there's provision, because his glory showed up. He said, I thought this was powerful. I want you to think, you know, we all kind of know the story of Peter and all the guys and how they weren't catching any fish. And, you know, Jesus told them to throw the net out and they went, I could just hear them. Hey, I've done it all day. Give me a break. I ain't catching nothing. I mean, isn't that the way Peter would have talked to him? Oh, yeah. Gotta be kidding me. But you know, when he told them where to cast their nets, cast them out, that the nets were so full, so full, that it says that they could barely pull the nets in. And so I said to the Lord, how is that your glory? And he said, in my glory there's abundance. You see, when I appear, I'm glorified. He's a glorified body. Jesus was a glorified body. Isn't that powerful? That kind of really exciting, man. When the glory shows up, there's healings. What I tried to explain to you just briefly, now his daughter has a school of healing from what I've been told. I've never made contact with her or anything like that, but you know, I got to be with her mom and dad. I've never, ever been around anybody that moved with the Holy Spirit like that couple did. And to me, I know maybe this sounds weird, and that's okay, I don't care what you think, but it's like, I remember looking into Charles Hunter's eyes, and I really, it was just, they always looked like they were on fire. I mean, it was just like, I don't know, when you looked at him, it wasn't like saying, oh, he's got blue eyes, or he's got green eyes, or, and I said to the Lord, what does that mean? And he says, when the fire of me is inside of you, it shows throughout your whole body. It can show through your eyes, it can show through your hands, it can show through everything. I don't know about you, that kind of really excited me. I was only in my 30s when he showed me that. Excuse me. He also said, revelation. When his glory comes, this is so important. I don't even know how to explain it. Holy Spirit, help me explain this. So often, we want to follow people. Oh, you know, I hear so-and-so is going to be there, so I'm going to Zoom and go to that conference. Oh, you know, it seems like you got your eyes on man. And the Lord said, if he was to come through these doors right here today, and the angels are saying, holy, 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 and all of a sudden, hell broke out all around this church. And all of a sudden, your phone rings, and it's one of your children, or it's a friend. Do you know what's going on outside? This is going on. You need to get out of there. You know, this is what's going on. And there's nothing wrong with that, but this is what the Holy Spirit showed me, and it was so powerful. I don't know how to put it in words. He said, when you really know me, you're not going to look to the right or to the left. You're not going to follow someone that says, oh, get up. Come on, come on. We got to go through this door. Right now, we got to go out this door here. And the Lord is saying, if you would just abide in my glory, I will protect you. And I will show you what to do. I don't know about you, that's pretty powerful to me. Mm-hmm. I could barely, I didn't know how to express it. So if he was to walk in here, would you recognize him? Would you recognize the glory? Mm-hmm. That's what he said to me. So, I wanted to express that to you. He said that there's supernatural protection when you're in his glory. When he shows up, the demons of hell have to bow down to his name. They can't even get in that glory. I've gone to different places. Oh, Lord. I remember being in a place in Chicago that was the most scariest thing I ever encountered in my life. There were three black guys. One said, pump your gas, lady. The other two were crawling around the other side trying to open my door. And I remember being horrified. And I had no gas in my car. I mean, none. And if you know me, I usually won't let it go past a half. I had no gas. So here I am at this gas station, and I remember calling out to the Lord. And I felt, and I've said this many times when the Lord has allowed me to share that, that I know the Lord sent angels to protect me. Because most people do not get out of that situation. And the Lord told me to take off. He would give me enough gas to get where I had to go. I didn't even know where I was going. I didn't know what ramp to get on. I didn't know. And all of a sudden, the Lord showed me, I don't know, maybe a couple years ago. Yes, there were angels all around me, but he covered me with his glory, that nothing could harm me in any way. That's powerful, people. To know that even when things come at you, you can get underneath that glory and he will protect you. So there is protection. And I wish I could explain even more than that, but I can't. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know to go right, left, straight, whatever. Joe was still at our daughter's place way on the other side of Chicago. Marie just took the wrong turn, wrong place, and this was bad. This is what you listen to every day if you listen to any kind of news about stabbings, murders, killings, everything in this part of Chicago. Guess who was there? Me. But his glory covered me, and his angels protected me. So there is supernatural protection when you are a daughter and son of the Most High God. Are you guys still with me?
Yes.
We've had a few things that have come our way, probably the last 2 or 3 years. And, you know, I love music, but the Lord said to me, get under my glory and I will give you peace and rest. The Lord wakes me up and gives me things like this in the middle of the night, and I try, you know, writing them down so that I can say them, pray over them, and look back at my notes and say, what the heck is that? What did I write? And then all of a sudden, the anointing will come, and I'll know exactly what I put down. Are you here? So there's peace and rest will show up with his glory. The Lord also showed me that you will actually have visions or dreams when you're in his glory. I had that vision of that door and angels and the Lord standing in there. The other thing that the Lord gave me was that in his glory, the enemy is destroyed. I don't know about you, that's pretty powerful. When the glory of God shows up, enemies are destroyed. The Israelites looked back, and all of a sudden the waters began to close up. Do you remember? You know? I'm not talking about the Hollywood movie, but what the word says. But the glory of God was with Joshua, and they were able to defeat all the enemies that were possessing the land. When they got through, they all got through to the other side, and the giants were there. And you know what most of us here would have said? This is the promised land? Are you kidding? I thought it'd be a lot easier. But when the glory showed up, it took them through it, gave Joshua wisdom, or what I call strategies, to conquer the enemy. Because why? He got in the glory. Also, when the glory of God shows up, there is salvation. Salvations, excuse me, from the sin that you're in. You can't help it. When his presence is here, I don't know, like, how the enemy was trying to do certain things, and then his presence came. I was over there by Joe, and I walked over here, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going down right here. Wasn't no show. Wasn't anything like that. It wasn't my earthly whatever you want to call it. It was the anointing. It was his presence. Are saved. I look at a couple people just in my mind as I'm talking that came to the tent revival who had never come to church and brought their little baby for us to pray over. How powerful was that? That was the glory at the entrance of the tent. Salvation, people giving their life to the Lord. Paul was talking to the church at Corinth about the moving of the gifts of the Spirit when the spirit within the body, and he talked about when people come in who are unlearned and are unsaved, they get saved because they feel the glory of the Lord. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
That's powerful. As Christians, you can sit here every Sunday. But you know what? You got to get new wine. You can't stay the way you are. If the Lord's moving, you got to be moving. And you know what? You don't save people. You can quote this frontwards and backwards, but it says, in my name. Do you believe I died, that I rose again, and I'm coming back? Salvation comes about because of the glory of the Lord. Wow. You don't even have to have your act together or be schooled. You just tell people how to meet them, so there's salvation. I heard something, I don't know who it was that was talking. But when you're in the glory, it's God's holiness. You live in every day in a life of hell. There isn't a holy atmosphere going on in your house. Not at all. Because it says here in the Word that when the glory of God shows up, we get a revelation of his holiness. And you want to change. You want everything to change. There's no condemnation in him, but when that glory comes, you look at yourself and go, whoa, what man, I can do that anymore. I'm not going to be a part of that world anymore. I told that to Joe, I think it was this week, wasn't it, honey? I says, hey, Joe, don't leave me, because I don't know where I fit here. And I mean it. When you leave that world, you have no desire for it. You just don't. He brings holiness. As Christians, we're to live as holy as we can, but unless you get underneath that glory and get in his presence, how do you even know what's holy? And the big thing that's in the churches today is repentance. Oh, you don't have to repent anymore. Really? I can't tell you how many times I've repented before the Lord for something I've done wrong. But you repent, you leave it at the cross. His blood covered it all. His mercy and grace and love is upon you. And you know what that means? That means you can leave it and move on.
Hallelujah.
Move on. When his glory comes, there's deeper commitment. I can never thank some of you people that are so dedicated to this church, really to the Lord. There's not one person in this church that gets paid for their service. Not one. When you learn to love Him with everything that you have, and you desire so much to be with Him, and you hunger and thirst for Him, you just want to do everything that you can for Him. Karen shared something a couple of nights ago about, she said, you know, about the scripture about the womb. He knew you in your mother's womb.
Isaiah 49.
Yeah. He knew you. You could be the biggest stinker even as I'm talking to you right now. But He knew you and He chose you. He knows your heart. But He still wants you to go deeper. And that's my job, is to try to take you deeper the best I can. When the glory of God shows up, maybe you're bitter towards someone. All of a sudden you find out you ain't bitter no more. Kind of changes your whole character. When the glory of God shows up, people maybe that you persecuted, you don't want to persecute them no more. Because the Lord wants you to speak about His power. When the glory of God shows up, sometimes we end up building religious idols in the churches. It's the way it should be, or we get real critical of someone else. But I'm going to tell you right now, the glory of God covers the underdog. Because the Word says that He goes out for the one lost sheep. You might have been the one that pushed him in the hole. When the glory of God comes, there is such a transformation of our character, our nature, who we were, but who we are now. And all of a sudden, and I'll end it this way, you begin to shine like Him. You begin to shine like Him. The Lord said, when was the last time you expected my glory to show up? You have to expect it. You got to want it. The Lord said, I move in churches. I move in government. I move in homes. And I move in the lives of the people that invite me in. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
You gotta want to desire the glory of God. That's the only way I can explain it to you. There's something about the glory of God that even changes the enemy or kills the enemy. And the example is when I talk to you of the story of Elijah. And how he come against all, I don't know, their high priests, priestess, I don't know what they all were, that really believed in Baal worship. Well, if your God is Baal is stronger than our God, let this happen. And then God came and dried up the water and the fire came. His glory. That's His glory. There's something else I wanted to say before I finish. But in Psalm 16:11, it says that in the presence of the Lord, there is the fullness of joy. And that at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And in Psalms 22:3, it says that God inhabits or indwells in the praises of his people.
What was that verse?
The first verse was Psalm 16:11. This one is Psalms 22:3. The more you praise him, and the more you desire his glory to be here, it'll be here. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it says. So the Lord said, this is a new season, and I want you to desire my glory, for I can change everything when you're in my glory, when you're in my presence. So that's my kind of conclusion, is that if you really desire to have the glory of the Lord, you got to ask for it. You got to want it. You got to desire it. And I wrote this down too. Excuse me. My voice is the last very long. The boldness of God's glory reminds me that darkness trembles at the hand of his power. God's glory demands praise, and nothing compares to his brilliance. So lift up your voice to the King of Glory. Can you feel him? Do you know him? Do you desire him? Then lift up the King of Glory. And truthfully, you have to ask him to settle on you. And in closing, Vicki, do you got the computer down?
No.
Okay. Could you put in that CD? And I want everybody to listen to song number 7. It won't be much longer. But this is the words. I've tried to scribble it down. It says, your glory covers, your glory reigns, and your glory hovers. Open up the windows of heaven. May it pour out on you today. Pour out your glory, Lord. Pour out your glory from every corners of the earth, from the east to the west, to the north, to the south. Your glory is covering. Your glory is changing. Your glory is raising to the light. Revive all of us in this place today. May you know the voice of the Lord. May you move in his power. Hover, Lord, hover and hover. That's the song you're going to hear. Amen. Prophetic psalmist who sings with Chuck Pierce. I love to sing prophetically, and I just want you to hear the glory in this. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If we can get into it,
whatever's going on,
it will work. And it says that when the glory comes, it brings the dead to life. Does the Lord want you to raise the dead in his name? Amen.
So open up the windows of heaven, Lord. Open up the windows of heaven.
Is that the right one, Marie?
Yeah.
Pour out healing. Pour out supply. That we can not obtain. Pour out your glory from the corners of the earth, from the east to the west, from the north to the south. Pour out. It's your glory covering, and it's your glory changing. Thank you. So know this, dragons are on the move. And even the great dragon is now mounting up. Nations that will align are now aligning. So I say to you, watch carefully. Look deep into the circumstances around you. For these are days of great change. And watch the signs on your road. For I say to you, your road is now changing. Your opportunity.